All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you give me an amen.
Amen.
Let's declare that word we normally declare when we want to study. Very important that we use our tongue rightly. We think the right thoughts and say the right things. Let's begin by declaring God's word. One, two, go.
Now
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
If you believe, you give me an amen.
Amen.
That's your portion once again today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word will enter your heart. It will give you light and direction.
Amen.
It will heal you in every area.
Amen.
And it will make you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 34, School of Prayer. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to get tired of praying. If it wasn't so important, He would not have said this so emphatically. Men ought always to pray and not to get tired of praying. You know, I was reading the Bible this morning from the book of Romans chapter 12. And there's something that led to it because I'm doing a series of teaching somewhere on the creation of purpose. And then I read Romans chapter 12. So my Bible was left open there. So this morning when I picked it up, I began to read. And something struck me, maybe because today I was school of prayer, all right? That if you read, after Paul talked about everybody having a gift, and I said, this is something we must all do. From verse 9, don't open to it, I'll just read out to you. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, that is, hate what is evil. Cling, he said, to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. He now said, devoted to prayer. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
that is, he was saying every believer, no matter your gift. I noticed that he didn't even say some people have a gift for prayer earlier than. He just said, everybody be devoted to prayer. It's a sign of being a Christian. It's a sign of hope. It's a sign that you are expecting something. You know, something struck me today. I don't want to build it up on it yet. I don't even know as I was saying it. But I was just reading again the book of Mark chapter 11. Something led to it. Okay, now I was listening to a message in my car. So the man of God said something. So I went and picked that portion and read it again. I said, wow. That Jesus said, believe that you receive. Are you getting my point? I noticed that he said the literal Greek is that the Lord said, believe that you receive and you shall have. Then that made me start thinking. That he said, when he said, believe that you have received them. The literal Greek is that believe that you receive. He didn't put them or it or whatever. He said you shall have. That is, suddenly I had a question answered. The English made sense. The faith made sense. What was he saying? That when you pray, you must have this attitude that you believe. Now, like I said, I won't develop it now. But you believe that you receive. Now, you can look at it two ways. You can look at that you believe that you have received. But it's also appropriate to look at it like this. Believe that you are receiving. I don't know whether I get my point. That even though you don't see it, you know it is working. Even though you don't, you know, you can't lay hands on it yet, you know the thing is working. That God has granted it, so it's in a process, it's working in your life. So you don't get discouraged. Because that's probably a lot of Christians I've had. They say, okay, some people now say that, because this is one of the balance I think many of us didn't understand those days. And I go and say, one of our brothers actually used to do it. He prayed to the Lord for a car, he'll come and tell you, no, I have a new car. And we'll pursue him around to come and show us the car. It was a problem we used to have. And after a while, we got him. So next time he tell that, hey, I have a new house, we'll say amen. And we'll just leave him like that. Because we now understood that what he was operating. But a lot of people, they find it hard to be able to relate with that. That, okay, how do I handle that? It was today as I listened to that message. The man just gave the literal Greek. And suddenly it made sense. That was Jesus saying, listen, you may not see it now, but if you are convinced that it's on its way, it's working, then you shall have it. Are you getting my point? That's why he can say, believe that you receive and you shall have. Because you shall have means that you realize that it's not in your hand right now. And that's what the Lord said, you shall have. Which means, therefore, what you do is that once you have prayed, are you getting my point? You believe that the process is already working. Know it for sure, it's already working. You know, I was listening to that. The same man of God was preaching about an old woman he went to minister to. And he just told the woman, look, 82-year-old, had cancer, was going to die. He said, look, you don't have to die now. And he left. He said, see yourself as living. Just see yourself as living. 2 years later, he saw the woman looking 55. He didn't recognize her. He said, she just looked as if, he said, one woman just came, grabbed him and gave him a hug. I was like, what's going on? What's going on? He said, you don't know me? No. Introduce herself. Say, what, you? Then he gave her a hug back, you know. What happened? He said, the woman said, oh, I just did what you said. I started seeing myself as healed. And then the tumor started shrinking. I started getting better, little by little, until one day I found out that I was totally well. 2 years later, the woman was looking 50-something. At that time, she was 84 or 85. If that was 2 or 3 years later, but she was 82 when he was talking to her. A few years later, she was well. He said, what did you do differently? He said, I started seeing myself healed. I started looking and say, I started thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Because I was a preacher. I'm going to do this. I started seeing myself healed. I stopped seeing myself as dying, because the initial thing was that, listen, I'm going to die. You guys should leave me alone. Let me die. I said, no, I am not dying anymore. And the moment she began to see that, then the tumor said that, ah, this woman self. Are you getting my point? And it began to depart. Are you getting my point? Listen, one of the problems a lot of us Christians we don't realize that prayers sometimes, the answer sometimes is a process. It's a process, especially when it comes to the matter of prosperity. Many of us are waiting for a breakthrough, just walk on the road like this, just a bag will just fall from the sky. Bah! On your back. You say, what is that? Open it. Gather more gold, dollar, or more, you know? That's what we're waiting for. And it doesn't usually happen like that. Occasionally, when God says you're about to die, he may just send you 10,000 naira. Father, thank you. Thank you. You go and buy something. You eat. You survive on that day. Wait for the next 10,000 naira. You go like that and give you 10,000. Forget it. You just go and find some job to do. But what he does is that he changes your mind, that poverty is not your portion. And you say, amen. I don't have a job right now. Does not mean I'm a failure. And then you say, amen. Are you getting my point? And as you're saying like that, little by little, one day it takes time. It takes a while. 10 years, 15 years, you look back. You're not only rich, you're very rich. The Bible says that the man became rich and kept on growing richer until he became very wealthy. That's what he said concerning Abraham. This is a process, Isaac. That's what he said. It's a process. The man became rich and kept on growing richer until he became very wealthy. We want to just be walking on the road and just suddenly become very wealthy. Say, what happened? I don't know. It is God. You know that? No, God really doesn't do like that. He likes people to be able to explain, you know, give a proper testimony that, yes, I was a failure before, but I realized I didn't have to fail. I got up and I began to work. First day, I made 20 naira. Next day, I said, oh, 20 naira can be made now. I came back the following day. I found I could do 20 again, do 30. Then one day, I was doing it in thousands. And then one day, the Lord opened a greater door, and I started doing it in millions. Now, I'm empowering many people. Are you getting my point? It may have taken a while. As I said, believe you receive. It's not as if you have received yesterday. Believe that it's working. The moment you prayed, something began to work. And then one day you will see physically in your life. Let's start with giving thanks. Say, Father, thank you that you're always working in my life. Let's start with thanksgiving. Oh, just start with thanksgiving. Many people are just looking for instantaneous something. In spiritually, yes, it happened instantaneously. But it began to work out. Listen, your prosperity is working out. Your future is working out. Your health is working out. You are not as sick today as you were yesterday. You may not realize it. That thing is getting better. That thing is getting better. That thing is getting better. Your child is getting better. Your life is getting better. Listen, your ministry is getting better. Doors are opening for you. You don't even realize. God is preparing those doors. It is working in your life. Jesus answers your prayers. The Father loves you. You pray in the name of Jesus, and God is doing something in your life now. It's working. It's working. It's working. Oh, like I like to say, life is working. He's giving life to my mortal body. Begin to give the Lord thanks for that. Declare, say, Lord, I thank you. I may not feel like it, but I know it. You are working. I may not feel like it, but I know it. You are working. I may not feel like it, but I know it. I believe. Because it's not by my feeling. It's by my faith. I believe. Oh, just remember something that you have prayed to the Lord for. Remember it. Remember something you have prayed to the Lord concerning. Remember something you prayed to the Lord concerning. And begin to give God thanks for that, because he's answered that prayer. The thing is just working. Remember what we said? Wait while your transaction is processing. Yes, you have keyed in the keywords. It is J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. But you are waiting because the transaction is processing. Begin to give the Lord thanks. It is working. Health is working.
Health is working. Oh, listen, it is working. The heart is getting better. The kidneys are getting better. The liver is getting better. The skin is getting better. You get, oh, it is working. It is working. You must never, never let go of faith because it is working. Though the angels will not go back. They will reach you because you will hold on to faith. Say, Lord, I thank you. Begin to give him thanks this evening. Oh, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in you, is giving life to your mortal body, is giving life to your mortal body, is working in every part of you, is working in every part of you, is causing you to recover, is energizing that healing that God prepared for you in Christ Jesus, is energizing it, is manifesting. Jesus said, you shall have. What does that mean? A day will come, you will realize that it has happened. A day will come, you will look and say, oh, who begat me all of these children? It is working. God is recovering something for you. He's turning something around. Know it. Whether you feel like it or not, know it. It is working. It is working. It is working. It is working. Life is working. The answer of the Lord is working in your life. The answer of the Lord is working in your life. It's opening doors that appear to be closed. This is not by how we feel. Sometimes it might take a while for you to see it, but it's working all the same. It is working all the same. Just give the Lord thanks this evening. Say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, thank you. Because I'm not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I hear. I am moved by the word that the Lord Jesus spoke. He said, you answered me and it is working. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. Let us thank him. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Nigeria, he's working.
Amen.
I said, in Nigeria, he's working.
Amen.
In your life, he is working.
Amen.
The Spirit of Christ is working in your life.
Amen.
He's making you better than you were yesterday.
Amen.
He's making you stronger than you were yesterday.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, you are better than you were yesterday.
Amen.
Listen, the word works.
Amen.
It's improving your life.
Amen.
There's a process. It's working inside you.
Amen.
You are not the man you used to be.
Amen.
You are not the woman you used to be.
Amen.
You are healthier than before.
Amen.
Spiritually, you are stronger than before.
Amen.
You have more insight than before.
Amen.
Listen, you're a student. All right, fine. You can remember better than before.
Amen.
You understand better than before.
Amen.
Listen, it is working.
Amen.
The Spirit of Christ is working in you.
Amen.
The answer of God is manifesting in your life.
Amen.
You are receiving.
Amen.
I say you are receiving.
Amen.
I say you are receiving.
Amen.
Then one day he said, you shall have.
Amen.
That is, it will happen one day you open your eyes. Listen, you have collected the first class.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
You open your eyes one day. Yes, you did your first degree. Was not fantastic. You did a master's degree. You are a distinction student. Because it worked in you.
Amen.
Poverty is dying.
Amen.
Because it's already dead.
Amen.
Prosperity is manifesting.
Amen.
Because it has already been granted.
Amen.
Productivity has come into your life.
Amen.
You are better than you used to be. And tomorrow you'll be better than today.
Amen.
Your faith is stronger than ever before.
Amen.
Because the life of Christ is working in you.
Amen.
Listen, whether it is genetic or it's an infection, it is acquired, every disease is being healed right now.
Amen.
Because the life of Christ is working.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One of the things that God gives his children is hope. And that's one thing I want Christians to understand. Why does he use the word hope? And even he himself said, Paul was teaching. He said, a man does not hope for that which he can see. Then why does God always grant hope? It means, therefore, that many things he has granted, people can't see with the normal eyes. But they must hold on to hope, because one day they shall see it.
Yes.
Are you getting my point? That's the way it is. One day they shall see it. And I'm saying one day you will see it.
Amen.
You know, thank God for miracles. Thank God for, you know, instantaneous testimonies. But I think Christians have not appreciated God's working enough. You know, it's only those dramatic things. I was just going on the road, though. I needed 25,000. One man just stopped me and said, "You look like a child of God. Here, this is 25,000. You come and testify." And it happens once in a while. It happens once in a while. Except that it's not every day. So when somebody prays, he doesn't see that. He just assumes that God didn't answer. And you know the word that said before, the word of God reasons. You know, we're teaching, it was on Sunday, that's in the Makode. I said, listen, you can ask God for 200,000 and the word decides you don't need it. There's no problem you want to solve. Let's solve the problem. Yeah, you get my point. People just say, I believe God for 200,000. It's coming. Then by Friday it will come. I declare it. Friday came. Alert. You refreshed your email again and again and again. Not to enter. You remember when I said that the word that man said is not true. God said, "Do I look like a robot?" I knew the problem. And I decided that is not a 200,000 error problem. That is a wisdom problem. That is a favor problem. So I sent favor, and you are telling me I didn't answer. Of course I answered. I hope you are getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
I sent favor. I sent wisdom. If you are settled down and believe that I know I'm working, then you settle down and suddenly sometimes we say that 200,000 for what? You wanted to pay for this place. Come, let me show you a place that is better. And it's only 25,000. Then you go and look and say, wow. And you now say, God didn't answer. Of course he answered. I hope you're getting my point. I want us to know. Faith means that we know that we are receiving. Are you getting my point? Faith means we know. Even though I can't see. That's why God gives hope. He gives people hope. And what Satan tries to steal from people is hope. You see a young man, nothing has happened to him. He's not broke. He has food. He's eating. And then he's sad. Why are you sad? He says, thought about the future. Have you eaten this morning? Yes. Are you stranded? No. You have money to transport yourself from here to the next place? Yes. Then why are you sad? He has thought about the future. One day, a brother sent me a message. He said somebody is about to resign a 48 million naira a year job to carry the children and go and start living in Canada. And he said, is a fellow normal? He said he doesn't understand what this boy is saying. That is, you are earning 48 million naira per annum salary. Then you decided Nigeria is bad, you are going to Canada. You resign this job. Canadian government is waiting for you to take care of you or what? What? Hope. That is destiny. They just look to the future. See, Nigeria looks scattered. Canada looks ordered. Listen, the destiny, the hope, the salvation of your children and your family is not in a geographical location. It's in God.
Amen.
I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
And listen, I told you, because of you are the salt of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
This country must good by force.
Amen.
Wherever you, your children are located, good must tabernacle there.
Amen.
Because you're a force for good.
Yes,
I've seen people, they don't, I remember those, I told you a story. When I was earning 6 to 12,000, no. Which would dash me 12,000. When I was earning like 6 to 8 or 10,000 naira a month, a man could raise 1.5 million. Listen, I had finished NYSC. I was working in a teaching hospital and my salary was like something between around 8,000 naira. Yet a man could raise 1.5 million. What did he decide to do with it? To try and buy a RNG visa for himself, his wife, and his sister-in-law or his sister. Three people, yeah? Him, his wife, and one other person. So I was scratching my head. You mean you have 1.5 million? I don't know whether you're getting my point. He didn't borrow it too. He had it. And this is what you plan to... Of course, the deal scattered. It was not to get his money back that was the issue now. I said, why would people do that? Because hope has been taken from them. And that is why God gives us hope. And how does he give us hope? By the entrance of his word. So when my word enters people, it creates an expectation for them. Are you getting my point? Abraham had lost hope. God said, listen to this. This, your wife will bear a child. Then he believed in a new hope. Hope is created by the entrance of the word. Are you getting my point? And then the hope that God gives does not make ashamed. That's one thing Christians must learn. It's not just instantaneous miracles God works. He puts a hope in front of you and it starts working in your life till you arrive to that place. Let's give thanks again. Say, Lord, I thank you because my hope is manifesting. My hope is manifesting. My hope is manifesting. You have put something in front of me to manifest. Say, Lord, I thank you because I've been thoroughly, totally, completely delivered. Say, life is working in me. Every blessing is working in me. I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And it is working. Blessing is a power. You must understand that. Father, we give you thanks. Let me just pass a comment on that. Blessing, if I give you, I give you something like this now. You say, oh, you blessed me with that. That is not bad, you know, it's good. But when God blesses people, his blessing is not a gift. Like what I mean, it's not that thing. Blessing is a spiritual substance, which is God's enablement that he gives somebody to succeed. That's what he does. You hear that, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful. That's a blessing. Blessing is ability. It's enablement. When God makes something, what he looks, I told you the other day when we were preaching here, that this is how God gives things to people. He wants to give you, assuming a house, wants to give you a car, wants to give you a wife, wants to give you a business. He just goes, you, receive a car. And a wise person will say, amen. Next person says, receive a house. Look at him and say, take a wife. Look at another person and says, receive a business. And the foolish man will say, where is it? The wise one just says, amen. Why? The moment he issues forth a word, his word is an enablement, is a blessing. It's an enablement to discover, to find, to create, to manufacture. It's enablement that he puts inside you. That's what his word is. So when he made them in the beginning, he said, you come. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. And just told them that and he said, move. What he has done is to create what? Enablement. What that means is that when that fellow now gets up tomorrow and begins to do something, the earth must yield the increase for that fellow. Many people are blessed, but they are not using the power. So it appears like there's no blessing. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, let me tell you something. As a child of God, you must fight idleness like it's a disease. Say, I've looked for work, they have not employed me. Say, no problem. While I am looking for work, I shall be washing cars in this place. I will wash car in the morning, go and look for work in the afternoon. That's a very righteous thing to do. I'm not kidding. While I'm looking for work, let me go and stand there and sell recharge card. While I'm looking for work, let me go to one restaurant and start cooking rice and serving fried rice. While you are doing that, you will discover work. I wake up in the morning, the last 2 years, you'll be waking up in the morning and making phone calls. Who's paying for the call anyway? You wake up in the morning, you're making phone calls. I wonder who gave you the credit? And that's your friend. Who gave me the how not? I mean, get credit for guy, transfer for me. The people said something, that man is very funny. He said, one day a man came to his house, a young man. They were about to eat. So the young man said, you're about to have lunch, you know, English people. He said, yes. All right. So they kept on talking. He kept on talking. After a while, the young man said, are you not going to have your lunch? He said, we will, as soon as you leave. He said, we're waiting for you to go. Then we will eat the lunch. So the young man like, what? I was kind of hoping that I would join you. The person said, no, I'm sorry. My Bible forbids me from giving you food. The young man was curious. Where? Why? He opens the Bible and says, whosoever will not walk, let him not eat. The young man got to open the door, wave the guy bye-bye, close the door. Before that, I told the guy, you're a lazy man. He said, you're a professional student. There's a way this stuff is. The guy could be doing one degree after the other. He said, when do you want to contribute to society? Because of their system there, you know, he could get scholarship, get loans. So he watched the guy for a long time. Look, listen, my friend, you're a professional student. People are always contributing to your life. So when are you going to start contributing to the life of other people? He said, the Bible has identified people like you to me. And he said, if you come, I wasn't giving you food. He told the man, come and start going. He said, the young man, look him. Look, this wicked man of God. And left. Returned, I think a year later. Knocked. I said, you can give me lunch now. Why? The guy, okay, that is what he's not doing. He said, fine, sit down, let's eat. The Lord is good. I'm going to emphasize something. You are blessed. Amen?
Amen?
What it means is that you have been empowered. That's what I'm trying to say. No matter how powerful my car is, until I turn the ignition and make it go somewhere, I won't know the power. You are getting what I'm saying? Please turn to somebody and say, you have power.
It's called a blessing.
You have been empowered.
You have been empowered.
Tell the person, use them. Speak real English. Use them. That is it. That, no, that's the real English. All right? Yes. You have to use it. Many people, listen, while you are waiting, you say, I'm making calls, I'm looking for work. God says, listen, no problem. But wake up every day. For the first 2 hours, do something. Then go and look for work the rest of the time. Many will discover something great. In that one, they were just doing for a few hours. I hope you've gotten my point. Open your Bibles. I wanted to read something. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You are blessed already.
Amen.
You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing.
Amen.
That is, you have every kind of enablement.
Amen.
That is what it means. Whatever you put your hands to do, it will prosper.
Amen.
Look at those hands, please. Let's talk to the hands. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In these hands,
there is ability.
Divine ability.
Divine
enablement.
Whatever I put these hands to do,
it will prosper. Notice it's to do. Are you getting my point? Not whatever I put this hand to sleep, it shall sleep well. These hands,
this hand
has power.
God's ability.
I will put it to do something. And that thing will prosper. Say,
it's in my blood.
God put it there. Once I get up,
once I do something,
it must prosper.
Listen,
between now and next year, at least three people listening to me here, who today you are currently flat broke, you will have enough to dash somebody a million naira. Also, just do what I have said. By December next year, you will have the ability to give out a million naira.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Just take me. These hands are empowered already.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to emphasize. They are empowered already. And no economy can stop the manifestation of it.
Amen.
You know, people will be telling that their ancestral curses. I say, get up and let. You know, the Israel, there was something that God did with them. I don't know why the Lord did like that, but that's how he did it. He said, I've given you this land. And he left all the giants there, left all the troublemakers there, left all the trouble there. Why didn't you just clear the land? Then we'll get there. We don't find anybody. We know you are giving it to us. If I just give us the C of O, we'll now give the C of O to some lawyers and some policemen. They'll go there and drive everybody. Then we'll come and take it. He didn't do like that. He said, I have given you the land of this man. Now begin to contend with him in battle. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
But you know what always happened? Everywhere Israel bothered to contend with the people in battle, they always collected the land.
Yes,
many people have not contended with poverty. I don't know whether you get my point. You have to contend with it. You can't just sit and let it just be harassing your soul. No, you can't just sit and let it be harassing your soul. God has given you ability.
Amen.
Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
With that ability, you will overrun every territory previously taken by poverty.
Amen.
Sometimes Nigerians will sit down and be angry with people like Dangote. It makes me laugh. You know why I laugh? Remember we said something before? Every Christian uses something. No, every human being must use something. You can't just wake up in the morning
just go to the market and you want to go and win in that market. There are principalities there. There are. Some men actually literally go every morning, they go to a particular shrine, offer something, to come and sell in that market. I told one of my friends, one of our brothers, I said one day, he saw this one live in Benin. You know what they call 419? You know they call 419? All these scam guys. One of them took a call. When his phone rang, he parked his car, came out, took a tortoise, you know, tortoise, shell, put it down, and put his right foot on it to take the call. So if it is a juju na imagination, it's not imagination. People are actually doing it. So Christian, I say, well, he's making like, he's using something. Anybody that says that is insulting God. You know why? Men are supposed to use something. If you are not using something, you will fail. Why does he say you are insulting God? You are looking at that man. Don't mind him. He's doing well because he's using something. You know what God is saying? There's something I gave you. Why are you not using it? When you lay your hands on the door of your office, you don't know that's something. Wait, one day, just imagine it. Move away from your office in your mind and imagine somebody gets to his door. He and his wife, they join hands and you are seeing their mouth going like this. Won't you say they are using something? When you are praying, what do you think you are doing? You are using something. The problem with Christians is that they don't use their something. They go to work and be wishing that things will go well. Don't wish. Put your hands on the door. I said, this office, in the name of Jesus, you will prosper. Amen. If I do it such a matter, your neighbors will know that you are using something. If I bring oil, even if you don't like oil before, speak to the oil and pour it. So that when you prosper, they know you are using something. They now come and say, please, that's your oil. Who gave it to you? Say, do you want? Listen, God will give you favor. Say amen.
Amen.
If you arise and move into your promised land, the giants will flee before you.
Amen.
God will give you favor.
Amen.
He will give you wisdom.
Amen.
I wanted to emphasize that. He will give you what? Wisdom. You are blessed.
Amen.
You are blessed with favor.
Amen.
Remember, blessings are ability. You are blessed with wisdom.
Amen.
You are blessed with physical strength.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's go by it again. You are blessed with wisdom.
Amen.
You are blessed with favor.
Amen.
You are blessed with vision.
Amen.
You are blessed with insight.
Amen.
Let me say it. You are blessed with vision.
Amen.
That is, in whatever you are doing, you will know what is going to come.
Amen.
I hope you are getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Imagine that Joseph was a stockbroker. Are you getting my point? And he knew what, you know, this Brexit, 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 you know, are you getting my point? There are those that God showed visions.
Yes, sir.
And because of that transaction, $500 million has changed hands into their hands. Yes, I mean, the moment Brexit happened, you know, pounds went down, stock market went down. Some people, God woke them up and said, listen, oh boy, you know, you are he that give it to me, that is, I use it to move money around. So what was going to happen? I wanted to know that vote that's going to happen, it's going to be Brexited. That is, the Brexit people will win. As a result, this was going to happen to pounds. And there are guys who just say, eh, if that's the case, they look, $200 million is available. Are you getting my point? They just quickly get up. No, the week before that, I know a man who's done it before. They just go, make some arrangement, collect 200,000, 300 million pounds, move it into dollars. The week after Brexit, they return it and pay back the loans in the banks. The difference, the guy pockets $50 million and thanks you very much and worships the Lord and glorifies his name. See, the Lord, my God, that gave me the power to make this money. And I turn to him and say, Lord, what do I do with it? I'm serious. That is inside. Many people don't have that because God said, look, that's not your job. For example, if you're a preacher, why is God telling you that? He wants you to go and start selling something. He said, why lead him into temptation? Before I know what's happening, the apostle will be raising money now because he will spoil the whole gospel. So he won't tell you that. But in your own area, there's vision you need to have to succeed in what you need to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you getting my point?
Yes.
That's why I say to you, you are blessed with vision.
Amen.
You are blessed with insight.
Amen.
You are blessed with foresight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are businesses some people are learning today because it won't exist anymore after a few years.
Yes. As I was driving down today, something came to my mind. I just said, all these cars moving up and down now. Give it another 20 years. You won't see, car ownership will almost be a thing of the past because of the trend that the world is going into now. When you hear of Uber, something started it. Autonomous cars, all those kind of things. They will get all over the world. I've already read articles on it in which people say a time will come, there will be no need to own a car. You want a car, just take your phone, ping, 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 ping. You press, you wait for 5 minutes, a car will wait. You enter the back, sit down, drop it where you are going. They've debited your small account of one tiny amount of money. It's cheaper than owning a car. The world's already going that direction. That's just the reality. There are trends that are coming. But the Bible says he has hidden wisdom for the upright. Listen, God wants to help his children so that you will not be blindsided. Things will happen you did not know they were going to happen. I hope you are getting my point here. Listen, you will have insight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In that which you are doing, you will prosper by insight.
Amen.
You will prosper by favor.
Amen.
You will prosper by wisdom.
Amen.
You will know how to do things. Look, what people will do with 2 million naira, you will do with 500,000, you will get better results.
Amen.
That's what wisdom does for people. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
That will be your portion.
Amen.
Listen, when you want to do anything, always pray to God for wisdom. You know what they call a curse, all right, in the Bible? One of the ways it manifests is lack of wisdom. You won't just think. God saves people that kind of trouble, gives you wisdom. Many of the things we are doing, we are just laboring needlessly. Your labor will not be with a blunt instrument in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wisdom will sharpen your instrument in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said, wisdom will sharpen your instrument in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, there are people who don't know how to use their money. When I say this, what I mean is this. There are things they should buy. In fact, I remember one supermarket downstairs. People will try to advise, look, this is your inventory. In this modern day, you can't be doing inventory with pencil and paper and with human head. Why don't you just allow people to help you computerize it and put barcodes and all of that? They will look at you as if not so, you know, wear your own shop. Okay. People complained. They were down here. Then one day we woke up, they had disappeared. They were owing everybody. They had a lot of goods. They didn't know where it was going. That is what foolishness does. It removes people's ability to prosper. They don't know the condition of their flock. Are you getting my point? Listen, foolishness is banished from your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because you have been blessed already.
Amen.
You have been blessed with wisdom.
Amen.
You have been blessed with wisdom.
Amen.
Listen, God, listen, this is my prayer and prophecy for you. The Lord will give you wisdom so that your life in what you do, you will be efficient.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your strength will not be wasted.
Amen.
You will not be cutting down a tree with a blunt axe.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wisdom will show you what to sharpen.
Amen.
Wisdom will show you what to sharpen.
Amen.
It will show you how to use money to save money.
Amen.
Many people, that's their fear. They are afraid. They say, go for a particular training. No, I don't want to go. Why? He's afraid of the money he will spend in going and coming. Meanwhile, if he bought that, what it will save him in his expenditure, he will make that money back in 2 months. But it's not as if he doesn't want to. He doesn't understand it. He thinks it's foolishness. He doesn't know this is wisdom. And that's why God needs to open our eyes. And that's why I pray for everyone listening to me again today. God will give you wisdom in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will make the right decisions.
Amen.
You will spend money wisely.
Amen.
Listen, you will employ the right people.
Amen.
All the Judases that will ruin your ministry, they will disappear from you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You won't employ them.
Amen.
If they come to your office that day, you will not be around.
Amen.
God will protect you from them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God, do you remove the wife or the husband you are planning to marry that will not do you good?
Amen.
That relationship will scatter.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not join your hands in matrimony with somebody who will not help you do the will of God.
Amen.
I don't care how much you love her or love him. Today, that love disappears.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a prayer and prophecy.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, you are free to serve God.
Amen.
And now listen to this. He takes away one and he establishes another.
Yes.
The wife of God for you will come to you.
Amen.
Amen. The Eve that God made for you will come into your life.
Amen.
The Adam that God made you for is waiting for you.
Amen.
And you will discover him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I say you will discover him in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's read our Bible. We're supposed to read somewhere, right? What did I say? Psalm 34. All right. The Lord is good. I said that the Lord is good. There's a particular verse I want here, but I just felt that let's read the Bible together. So we're going to read the whole psalm from verse 1 to verse 22. If whichever version you have, I think it would be good for us to read it together. Should I read one and you read the next verse? I think that would be good. We are reading how many verses? 22 verses, all right. Let's start together. 1, 2, I'll read verse 1, you'll read verse 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2. The humble will eat and rejoice. Verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him, and they were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his struggles. Sorry, just give me a second. I feel like reading that verse 5 again. If you read King James, it says, okay, it said they looked to him and they were lightened. King James says, my Bible says they were radiant. That is, their faces began to shine. It said, and their faces will never be ashamed. You know, sometimes you hear news and you suddenly become, you're weak. Just at home, they just call you. Say, praise the Lord, though. A younger brother just gained admission to law school and they need 400,000 naira. Now you go pay. You know, news that should make you happy. When they say, hey, is that so? Did he check very well? You don't want it, though. There are people that, no, their parents are praying that their children will fail jump. Because the boy passes. School fees will appear. At least he feels now, you say, Pele, you have time to console each other. But daddy just go, the boy just goes, daddy, what? I got mission letter where? Governor's University, you're fall down. you're fall down. It's what people look at sometimes makes their heart faint. That was the heart of many fail them when they behold the things that are going on around. But the Bible says in the midst of that, you know what happened? David encouraged himself. Yes, in the Lord. Yes, anytime we have such issues, what do? We turn out to God and just magnify his name and keep our eyes fixed on him. What happens that even before, Paul said, what God gives, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Even before you see the money, joy comes into your heart. Yes. You start rejoicing with the man who just gained admission. Say, yes, good. Say, your money is coming. Your God is good. You start and that's what the Bible means when they say they looked to him and they were radiant. Because they saw some other things and they were the other thing. Are you getting my point? And you look at trouble, suddenly, you know, your heart will faint. But when you focus on God's word, your face will be lightened.
Amen.
Let me say another thing to you. You must practice to have a lightened face from God's word. Don't go around frowning your face. Yes, it's important. You're walking on the road, you have a smile on your face. It's a sign of faith.
Yes, sir.
There are signs of faith, though. The way you talk, the way you smile. Everywhere, one day I saw one woman. I was passing. I passed. Then I came back. I said, madam, smile. She didn't even know I passed. And she was supposed to be acting as security in an area. She sat down like this, all looking despondent. I said, I just stopped. I said, madam, smile now. Young lady, actually. I said, madam, smile. She, you know, I kind of woke her up. I said, why are you looking so sad? Oh, God, it's money. I'm serious. I said, okay. I have some money in my bag. I opened the bag. I counted some money. I said, please, smile. I beg, let me just give you small money, just so you can smile. I'm sure that lady will be wondering where this angel appeared from. Because after that, I left and she didn't see me. The weight of her face made that part of the corridor dark. Sucking away all the light from the environment.
Listen, that doesn't bring us victory in the realm of the spirit. It doesn't. It doesn't. In the realm of the spirit, we must have a radiant face. Are you getting my point? Nobody, all right, wants to befriend somebody who's always pulling your spirit down. Nobody. If you won't lift up my spirit, go, that is go. I won't talk to you again. The Lord is good. Let's continue reading. So he said, they looked to him and they were radiant and their faces were never ashamed. Verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Say, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Verse 6, 8. Go taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, you notice something. What was this David saying? He was emphasizing that if a man is in trouble, that's what I'm trying to say, he needs to call upon God and taste that God can deliver him out of trouble. Because he said, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. Verse 10, young lions, they lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Now listen to this. When it's talked about young lions, we're talking about those that have strength. Those that have connections. Those that have the certificates. Those that have the correct passports. You know, American citizen. Those that have that. Those are the people that the issue of being a young lion typifies. Are you getting my point? Those are the people that it represents there. But it was saying that even though they go broke, things go wrong with them, those who fear the Lord will not lack anything that they need. Are you getting my point? Those who fear him will not lack anything good. That's what he was trying to say. Now said in verse 11, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is, let me show you how to go about seeking the Lord. Are you getting my point? In the time of your distress, when things are not working well, when people, the young lions are lacking and suffering hunger, it is time for you to do what? Listen. And I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 12. Who desires life and love length of days that they may say good. Verse 13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and continue. Say, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. 16. He said, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, I need to just quickly explain before we leave that segment. I was looking for where there would be a break. But what was he saying? There's trouble. Young lions are fainting. They are lacking. But those who fear God, who seek the Lord, they will not lack anything good. He said, because of that, now you children, come. Let me teach you how to handle your distress times. Are you getting my point? He said, come. I will teach you the fear of God. He was now saying, in the time of your distress, what do? Keep your tongue from evil. Your lips from speaking deceit. There are two types of evil and two types of deceit. What is the first type? The common one we know is evil, talking something that is bad. Are you getting my point? It's like, you know, saying you're speaking, backbiting, speaking evil, conspiring. But there is a simple but most fundamental of the evils in which men enter into the promised land and they return with an evil report. And they say, we are not able. And God said, they have spoken evil in my hearing. And they have conspired against me. So when he says, keep your tongue from speaking evil. The first and most important form of evil is not to speak against the word of God. Are you getting my point? Yes, sir. That is, those who speak against God's word, that's the first. It's not just about, you were telling that man, your papa, your mama. Listen, that is... That's not a serious evil. So you don't say that kind of thing. You're a Christian. No. The worst evil that we commit every day is simple things like, the way this country is going, we're all dead. It's things like, can you imagine what kind of government do we have? The road between Anonicha is not good. How can a business progress? Listen, things are not going to work in this country the way they are going. Is this the change we voted for? People don't know that is what? evil. You are taking the name of the Lord our God and placing on the government. It's called a vain thing. You are breaking the spirit of the third commandment. When they say, if you want to prosper, when young lions are suffering, first thing you do, keep your tongue from speaking evil and from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. What does that mean? The time of distress, the temptation is to do evil. You deliberately depart from it. He says, seek peace and deliberately go after it. Why? The eyes of the Lord, in the midst of that affliction, if anybody does that, the eyes of the Lord are towards him. And his eyes will be, his ears will be open to the fellow's cry. He said, if you do the opposite, that is speaking evil, the face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. I don't need to explain further. You know what happened to Israel. When they spoke evil in his ears, his face was turned against them, and he swore in his wrath that they would not enter into his rest, and all of them perished in the wilderness. Listen, if we maintain speaking what is good in the time of distress, young lions may faint, but we will survive.
Amen.
And then we will progress.
Amen.
And we will advance.
Amen.
And good will fill our homes in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Where do we stop? Verse what? Verse 19. Who was going to read that?
You.
Okay. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Verse 20.
He
keeps all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Now, as God is delivering the righteous from trouble, are you getting my point? The same time, evil shall slay the wicked,
Amen.
But those who hate the righteous will be condemned.
Amen.
Verse 22, let's read together. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take a refuge in him will be condemned. Listen, that the righteous will have troubles is in the Bible. Yes, he will. But that the Lord will deliver him from them all is also there.
Yes.
Are you getting my point? So even though you have troubles, this is the word of the Lord. Deliverance is your portion.
Amen.
Listen, troubles come to tempt people. One, to speak evil. To depart from doing good. To depart from seeking peace. But even in the midst of all of them, the Bible says we consistently seek good, speak good, we refuse to speak evil. Then God is under a covenant, a promise that he has made to deliver us from all troubles. I hope you get my point. No matter the trouble any believer here, if you're a believer, say amen.
Amen.
A believer believes something. And this is what to believe. Deliverance has come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said deliverance has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No matter what's going on outside, good will come into your home.
Amen.
It will come into your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. Can we just sit down for a moment? Let me just... No, don't let me start preaching now. We are closing now. Most of all, we'll stay till late. In fact, we are closing on time today. The Lord is good. Okay. I just want to... The reason why I wanted us to read this, which now took... it's something we learn all the time. I just want to remind us of it again. Just because we have been standing, that was where I wanted to spend most of the time in declaring, but it went the way it did. Verse 3 is where I actually wanted us to read, but when I looked through it, I said, well, let's just read the whole portion of the Bible. David said, okay, let me start from verse 2. He said, my soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear it and rejoice. And I said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want to just remind us as we close, now we're closing now, what it means to exalt, that is to magnify the Lord and to exalt his name. Please, we have to be very careful as believers, so that that is concerning how we use our words. And you know, that's what we've been talking about, all right? Because in the time of distress, what is looked out for is what each person will say with his mouth. Very important, we'll get that point. The time of distress, angels are listening out. Are you getting my point? Even God is listening. When people spoke because things were difficult, they were going to go into the promised land, and they saw giants in the land, they spoke, and then the eyes of the Lord turned against them. So I want to admonish us again. These are the things we do. Please, go and listen to the series of messages we preached that time, the seven names of God. please go. You know, there's not everything that one can say all the time. So usually if I remember that we have done a particular series, I want people to just go and listen to them. If you go to our website, the message is available. All right, the messages, there's how many of them? Maybe like five or so. But it's titled The Seven Names of God. Now, when I talk about the seven names of God in that message, I emphasize that I'm not counting. You know, you've heard messages like that before. When I was in school, we heard one of the 13 names or so of God. And then we listed them, Jehovah, we have El Shaddai, Jehovah Rufeka, Jehovah Nuruhi, Jireh, Megedishki, all those things. Those are all Hebrew, words. I don't want to just say names. But the truth is that why did I choose the word seven? I picked the word seven out of the fact that in biblical numerology, seven is supposed to be number of perfection. All right. So I was trying to explain that the names of God or the name of God is perfect, but actually is innumerable. That is, every time you have a need, God has a name He bears under the circumstance. There's no, if even the people you are calling Jehovah this, Jehovah that, Jehovah that, they discover that name when something happened. When you hear Jehovah Jireh, it means what? The Lord will provide. It wasn't as if somebody woke up one day and said, have you heard the name of God? Jehovah Jireh, write it down. No. There was a situation, and God manifested, and they discovered His name. And they said His name is what? Jehovah that provides. That's it. That's the way it is. Men are in trouble, and God delivers them. And they will build an altar and call upon the name of the Lord, and they'll call Him Jehovah Deliverer. They will write it down as the name of God, which is not a lie. And remember, Miles Monroe taught then. He said that when Moses was told, go and tell the children of Israel, the Lord has come to deliver you, and they will say, what is your name? He said, you will say to them, I am that I am. The Red Prince explained it further. He said, actually, what he said is this, my name is I am. He said, he asked Moses, he told Moses, my name is I am. When you get them, say, He is, has sent you. So that's the literal, that's what Derek Prince explained. He said, that's literal Hebrew, that His name is I am, was sent to Moses. So when you get there, tell them He is. So His name is not I am per se. His name is descriptive. So when he's talking to Moses, he said, I am. When you get there, what do you say? Say He is. If they come to Him face to face, you know, my name is always Banky or whatever you want to call me. Whether you're talking to me, or you're talking to my wife, or you're talking to yourself, or you're reading in the papers, that's my name. But with God, is who he's talking to. So when they are talking to Him directly, he said, what's your name? He said, my name is I am. So what if they ask me who you are? Tell them He is. You know, that's one thing that will help us understand. That's not as if it's a name somebody gave to Him the day He was born. He said, God, have you gone for baptism? What's your baptismal name? No. His name is always a description of an encounter. Are you getting my point? That's what His name is. So Miles Monroe said that when he said I am, what was he saying? He was saying, listen, this name is vast. We can't fill it. So I'll just give you the first portion of it. And wherever you get to, complete it. Do you get the point? So when they say that we are hungry, what's the name of your God? I am the bread of life. Are you getting my point? That's it. So when you say that, what's the name of your God? He is the bread of life. He is the healer. That the name of God is what He bears. It's where you are. You look around and say, what is His name here? And the fact is, every situation of life, the Bible in your hands, has the name of God written about that situation. The name of God is not just a word. It's often a sentence. It's a description of His character. It's a description of His power. It's a description of His personality. It's a description of what He can do. So anytime you read, there are sentences that are God's names. For example, you tell you, I am God. I delight in the prosperity of my servant. That's the name. So who's your God? He is the Lord who delights in the prosperity of His servant. That's the name. They came, He said, I am God. I make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. That's a name. That is a name.
It's a name. Like, you know, like he was saying that, behold, it is the Lord thy God. Remember, he is. Moses was talking to them. Said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. That's a name. He is the God who gives you the power to get wealth. There is no situation that his name does not, a description of his name does not exist in your Bible that you have. Every single situation of life, there is a description of his name there. While we're talking about that, please go and listen to that series. I'm not preaching it now. The seven names of God. All right? I think we have just about five messages. All right? So when you are getting to the message, don't get your paper trying to write them down. 1, 2, 3, 4. No. God's name, if you sit down from this Bible, I'm sure you can easily count at least 200. You can easily, now that you know how to identify it, you can easily count 200 of his names from your Bible. Nothing less than 200. Are you getting my point? Like now, he's telling you that there is he that is coming that's mightier than me. He's describing he is. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's the name. The Lord that baptizes in the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's it. That's a name. That is a name. When you are talking to him or he's talking to you directly from the scriptures, or somebody is telling you he is, you've discovered his name. And David now said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I like that revelation that I taught then on the third commandment. Every commandment has a spirit. When God gave them the commandment, thou shalt have no other God, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not make a graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Each one has a spirit, and that spirit is something we hold on to. What is the third commandment? When I was a child, they said, don't say, ah, God, you know, that kind of thing, that you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. Or, you know, Americans say, God damn it, you know, that kind of thing. Say, this God forsaken place, all those kind of things. See, that's taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The people would not say, if you swear falsely by the name of God, you're taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, there's some truth to all of those ones that they said, but after studying the scriptures, I don't think that's what Moses was saying there. When Moses was explaining that, he gave us three commandments. That's 1, 2, 3. And you see, they all tie. He said, one, you heard the voice. You didn't see a form. He said, first, you shall have no other God besides me or before me. That is, this God of Abraham, this God of Isaac, and this God of Jacob shall be your only God. That's number one. These people came from Egypt, where every God had an image. So they at first, by that, nullified all the gods in Egypt. Whether it is Isis or Oris. What are the gods of Egypt? Memphis, I don't know their names. All those gods in Egypt, God of the sun, he said, listen, you shall have no other God apart from the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Check first one. We check that one. He said, now, that God, we have removed all of the other gods. So how do we identify this God? So he said, number two, you have never seen him. You must not make a graven image and say, this is Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You must not do that. That's the second commandment. The third one now is this. You will get to the land, promised land. You will see beautiful temples. You will see beautiful images, all kinds of things. Now remember, you have only one God now, and they have all agreed. You can't make an image because you didn't see that God. But you are going to get to a particular place one day, and you will see a beautiful temple, and you will not want to demolish it. And you will say, let us remove the name and take the name of our God and use to replace it. So now we worship our God here, and that image will now be our Jehovah. I don't know whether you get the point. Let me prove to you. That was what is his name? One of the things that, what's that again? Aaron did. He said, a calf came out. He said, okay, that is your God. I don't know what is my point. He didn't try to carve Jehovah. He had never seen him. They said, we have only one God. We agree. So where is he? Said, okay, that calf that came out of the goat, of the fire, he placed the name of God on it and said, behold your God that took you out
of Egypt. What was he trying to do there? He took something else and transferred, because he was not allowed to create an image. So they took something that already existed, a calf. The kind of thing they sacrificed. And then placed the name of God on top of it. That was the third commandment. That was forbidden. In modern day Christianity, we do it a lot. If I tell you this, you're going to laugh about it. So we went to England and Europe and found out that they had festivals that they loved. 1 week of celebrating. 1 week of which people had all kinds of celebrations going on and they could not stop it. So the bishops called the headquarters and said, what do we do? They said, change the name. He said, all right, this festival is no longer the festival of this. It's now the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a breaking of the third commandment. They took a vain day and baptized it with the name of Jesus. We now call it Christmas. To shake some people to hear that. They went there one day, people were doing festivals. They said, we can't get them to stop. What do? Say, it is the death and the resurrection of Jesus. We now call it Easter. Easter was there before Christianity came. But they took the old name away and then replaced it with the name of the Lord our God, thereby putting the name of the Lord our God on a vain festival. Christians have done it. When he said, look, take the name of the Lord in vain. That's what the literal thing is. Don't put the name of the Lord on a vain thing. Don't take it and baptize the vain thing with it. He's the only God. Don't make an image of him. And if you find an image, don't replace it. Now, this is a practical thing for us. Let me get to the modern day. What we're supposed to do. God has names he bears. For example, his provider. Are you getting my point? He's what?
Provider.
If he's your provider, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6. That don't worry, if he's the bread of the air, he'll provide for you also. So he's a provider. Alright? So let's say you have a very good job. You work for Mobile. Alright? Work for MTN. This is a temptation. MTN suddenly becomes what? Provider. And that is one thing a Christian must never fall for. Say, without this job, you know, we will not eat in this house. That is what they call blasphemy. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It's blasphemy. There are those who don't want to offend human beings because they feel if we offend this man, where we are supposed to get to, we will not get there. That is blasphemy. You've broken the spirit of the third commandment. You've taken the name of the Lord. All right? Because the Bible says, you remember, he is, right? He is. Psalm 75. Promotion does not come from the east, does not come from the west, does not come from the south. But God is judge. He lifts up one. He is the one that does it. Not a man in political office. So if you say without this man, you know, we won't get this promotion. No. You have desecrated the name of the Lord because the promoter is God. If God chooses to use that man, fine. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That is the thing about God's name. It's not just, you know, we get stuck on this Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. You know, that was the name by which he revealed himself to Moses. Abraham did not call him Jehovah. Or Yahweh, whichever you want to pronounce it. Abraham did not. He didn't know it. He was just a God of Abraham. And that word God is just God. You know, the way you use God. You can call wood what? God. You can that G-O-D. That's all Abraham understood. But he now knew the personal relationship. That was why God had to add Abraham to his name every time he wanted to talk. The God of Abraham. That is, I am the one Abraham related with. The God of Isaac. It was as they were experiencing him that Abraham was discovering by experience what he was. So when he tells you, El Shaddai, Abraham experienced that. What does that mean? This God that I have met is the almighty breasted one who can supply anything. It's out of experience. It was not an introductory card. Have you met me? My name is El Shaddai. Call me. Come to my office. Give you a name. Give his complimentary card. No. It's when you have been sick and the doctor said you should die and then you become well. They say, how did you become well? He said, my God is the healer. So God told them, he said, I'm the Lord thy doctor. That's the literal, what to call the Lord that healed thee.
Jehovah Rapha. Listen. He's Hebrew. That's not God's name. I don't want to say that's just Hebrew. The literal thing, what God said to them is that don't worry about the diseases. The type you saw in Egypt, the one I placed upon them, I will not let it come upon you. I will not place it upon you. When God promised that you'll be okay. They said, why? He said, because I'm God, your doctor. We now make it look like, you know, oh, his name is Jehovah Rapha. Oh, Jehovah Rapha. No. If you want to worship properly, say, Lord, thank you, because you are the doctor with whom nothing is incurable. That's the real name. It makes sense to you. The Jehovah Rapha to you is just Hebrew. It's a language you don't speak. Drop it. I'm telling the truth. God understands you know him better. When you put up those hands and say, Father, we want to say thank you. Jesus will worship you. You died on the cross and you are our healer, our doctor, with whom nothing is incurable. So that when they go and the doctor gives you a diagnosis, you say, what is this? Yes, it doesn't have any cure. You say, oh, don't worry about it. I'll go and see the other doctor. I don't know whether you get my point. You say, what? Which doctor is that? My God, no. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what do you mean? Where's his clinic? Well, my wife and I will locate it at night. Yeah, when I want to pray, that's where his clinic is. Are you getting my point? I will just lay it down. Okay, I pray that God will be that real to us. That you just say that, no, but okay, no, we'll go and we'll see the Lord about it. Can they cure it? I told one of my friends once, when the doctors gave him a breakdown, what they're going to do to him? I scratched my head. I said, ah! I said, man of God, this is not good. He said, what do we do? I said, when we see, we'll talk. And I saw him, I said, well, normal human doctors, this is what we do. They will do this, they'll do that. This will take about minimum 18 months. So I said, if we can give them 18 months, let's give the other, let's give the Lord some time now. I said, yes. Say, preacher. Preacher, we just say, all right, so what do we do? Three of us, call the third person, we join our hands. And we prayed, and we said, Father, in the name of Jesus, this is what we're asking for. We rebuke this affliction. We rebuke this according to your promise that's in the Bible. You said this and this and this and that. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, if you believe, you receive. Are you getting my point? So we believe that we receive. It took him a whole year. It was 1 year later he testified that the affliction has gone. His name is Dr. This Jehovah Rapha thing is not working. I'm telling you the truth. Literally, his name is Jesus, my physician, my surgeon, my specialist. That's the real name. What am I saying? So when David said, magnify. You know what means what magnify? It means to blow something up. If I look here, I can't see it. In fact, my phone has that feature. I found out some time ago. If you use my kind of phone, one day I'll just go there. I just saw magnify. So I clicked on it. Have you ever tried to pick some of these chargers? You want to read what's behind. It's so tiny that even a little child will find it hard to, you know, children see fantastically. You know, you look. What do you do? Just put a magnifying glass. It becomes what? Bigger. Becomes bold. Thank you. In life, things can be magnified. Things can be minimized. You can shrink them. It's true. There can be big trouble. You meet somebody. You talk to the fellow. And he just makes it look small in your eyes. I remember once my mother passed a comment. I took it as a compliment. Walk. Digression. Master digressor. All right. Walk by faith. Amen. No matter what everybody is saying, please walk by faith. Now they are laughing at you. Tomorrow, you'll be their reference point. Initially, it was like the way I behave, self. Now, you are the only one that understands yourself. All kinds of names they called me in my own household. You know, I didn't remember some of those names until recently. I was thinking about some things. One day, my mother now said, I remember when you were going for AYC. I was so worried. He said, but you have a way of putting people's minds at rest. So where were you posted? I said Taraba State. My mother had never heard the word Taraba before. No, I'm not joking. She didn't know there was a state in Nigeria called Taraba. Because it was just freshly created. There used to be, for those of who are too young, all of you are looking,
There used to be Gongola State. Many people don't know there was ever a Gongola State. I was asking them, did you say Gongola or Gondola? There used to be a state called Gongola. Gongola is what is now, is a combination of what states are now Adamawa and Taraba. So it had just been created. That was 1992. That was when I was going for NYC. So I told my mother, I said, what are you supposed to say, Taraba? You know what you say? Her countenance fell. How do I know? I heard the land on the ground and shatter. Her countenance fell. So she sat and I can imagine her brain began to do calculation, like who do we know, who do we call, who do we talk to, you know, who do we see, all those kind of things. She sat and said, so what are we going to do now? I said, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? I said, me, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, I am packing my bag, and I am going off to Taraba State to go and discover the place, to go and become enriched in the place, and to go and bless the place. She was like, I just packed my bag, and next morning, I asked a few questions, how do I go? People gave the direction, 5 a.m. next morning, I left the house. So when you get there, write, not now that there's phone, who call who? And I told my mother straight, I said, I am not writing. Then discussion began, please now. I said, Mommy, please, I am not going to write you. Please now, so at least I will know, write. I said, I am not writing. She begged me and this guy has been stubborn for a long time. My wife thinks it's now that I married her, I'll become soft. I was stubborn against my mother. What about it? What will you do? My mother, I refused to. I just said, no. And I made it clear, Mommy, I'm not writing, forget it. I picked my bag. Early in the morning, next morning, I disappeared. Now, why didn't I agree to write her? It's simple. I was going to write. But I didn't want her expecting the letter. No, I was going to write. As soon as I got to camp, I wrote. Though there was letter, it's not now that before, just pick your phone. Send me, he said, Mommy, I beg, your WhatsApp, they work. I'm not paying for text message. If some of you now, every 5 kilometers, you go send a message, we'll cross one bridge, you cross another one. We just send for full and email, we pass them, everything is okay. For us, I had to go to the post office and post a letter. But I told her I wasn't going to write. For the simple reason, I didn't want her waiting for the letter. So when she did not get any letter, she just knew that this boy wasn't planning to write. And you will see that I was right. 4 weeks later, I came back home. That the share of my younger ones, they just leaving our gate, turned like this. Someone just said, see, I just come, he saw me coming down with my bag. There was grass in that area. My mother fell into the grass. I'm not kidding, she fell on her knees into the grass and put up her 2 hands. I wrote, I got home before the letter. I'm not kidding. I got home before the letter. So you understand why I refused? Why I was this stubborn? All these men, our stubbornness has a reason. Wives, get used to it. There's something we are trying to do. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Now, why did I tell that story? Why did I tell the whole story? Because my mother, things like that happen once in a while. All right? It happened here and there. One day she just calls a comment that you have a way of putting people's minds at rest. She now reminded me of when I was going for NYC. That she was so troubled. And when she brought up the matter, I just brushed it aside, picked up my bag and left. That's how you minimize things. Are you getting my point? But this is the problem we do a lot of times, Christians, these days. A pastor's wife was murdered in Abuja preaching. We broadcast it everywhere. We magnify the problem. Fulani headsmen, those are armed militia, kill some people. We broadcast a Christian spirit. We are lying. We are not praying. We are panicking. We broadcast it everywhere. Everywhere. Every little person that gets killed somewhere in the north, every Christian in Nigeria gets to know about it. Every person that gets converted, we don't hear.
Yes, sir.
We make it pay. No, you know, until I said it now, you did not realize that Christians, Muslims are getting converted every day.
Yes, yes.
Until I said it now, it hadn't crossed your mind in a year. that Muslims are giving their lives to Christ. That's the meaning of the word magnify. We magnify the trouble. Magnify the trouble. Every little thing is tribalism, We blow it up. Stares in our faces. And we don't realize those things kill faith. They just want Christians to pray. They are not praying. They are panicking. Every little thing. He said, you know, we are victims. They are coming to invade us. They are coming to kill us. I've said, in this country, listen to me. God will raise a Fulani man as a national evangelist.
Yeah.
A man will arise out of Sokoto State. He will arise out of Kano. Another will arise out of Jigawa. One is coming out. Hey. Are you getting me? Out of Borno State.
Yeah.
And they will preach the gospel and put the Southern Christians to shame.
Yeah.
I'm talking about magnify. Magnify, that's what it means. A problem, you blow it up. David said, don't do that. Magnify the Lord with me. How do we do it? We exalt his name together. What does that mean? We'll talk, you know, I keep on saying, we'll talk about him. Now I lost value against the dollar. We discussed that for 1 minute. Then talk divine provision for 10 minutes. I said, forget that. You know, in the midst of all of that, we thank the Lord that he knew it was going to happen. He will supply abundant grace. What we were making in naira before, now we are going to make 10 because we are going to increase. He is the Lord that giveth us the power to get wealth. We will create wealth like never before. Did we think so? Did we feel so? No. But that's what he said. It's his name. If I'm going on the road and you say, Pastor Banky, do you feel like I'm Pastor Banky? What's your problem? They introduced me to you. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You didn't give me a name. Whether you like my name or not is your personal problem. There are names you heard. Like, Israel, that our customer on the way. We met him yesterday. He said, what's your name? He said, Lovers. Lover or Lovers? Lovers. I said, your mother, your father must have really loved your mother. He said, it's true. He said, the two of them are lovers. I said, yes. I had never heard that name before. Yesterday was my first experience in this life of meeting a human being whose name is Lovers. I mean, that's his name. I have to call him that. One day, one of my students, he's an Urubo boy. I said, what is his name? He said, his name is Akatapo. It's a really Urubo name now. Yes. I said, did you notice how your name sounded? He said, I said, you must be a militant. It sounds like a machine gun going off. Now, the point I'm making is that I had to call him Akatapu. What I felt was irrelevant. In the same manner, if God says, are you getting my point? I am. Remember, he is. I am. If he says, he is the one giving you power to get wealth. I don't have a choice. I just call him that. Whether I like the economy, I don't like the economy. I like him, I don't like him. Besides the point. What is his name? He is the Lord that giveth me the power to get wealth. That is his name. David said, magnify his name together. What do? We magnify problems. Magnify Boko Haram. Magnify issues. But God said, no. For every moment you spend talking about troubles, spend 5 talking about me. It is what the situation around hears that he responds to. Yes. Let's rise to our feet. I want us to close. Let's take a minute again and talk about him and magnify his name. Let's begin to magnify him. I'll give everybody just 1 minute. In any area of life, just magnify him. He said, that's how you magnify the Lord, by exalting his name. What does it mean to magnify? Make bold. Make big. Let it be what people talk about. I always like to talk about a country like this. He is the God of the nations. He is the God of the nations. He is the one that makes kings.
It determines the epochs. He's a God of the nations. Let's talk about him. Just magnify his name, magnify his name, magnify his name. He said, it is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He is the one who gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Magnify him so over Nigeria. Say, Lord, thank you. You drew the boundary of the nations. Say, Lord, thank you. We magnify you. We just call your name. The God who drew the boundary of the nations. Who drew the boundary for the sea. He said, thus far and no further. With all their proud waves, he said, thus far and no further. Magnify his name. How do we magnify the Lord? By exalting his name. He's our peace. That's a name. He said, my Father, my peace. My God, my peace. Our God, our peace. He said, who forgiveth all thy iniquity? Say, Lord, thank you. I call your name. You are the forgiver of my sins. Let's magnify him. Can we do something for a second? For a few seconds. Can I just be quiet for a second? Everybody, I want you to just do something. It's going to be interesting, right? Just for a few seconds. Just think about now the money you have in your pocket, in your bank, wherever it's coming from. Think about where it came from. For example, if you're a student, your father sent you the money, your uncle sent you the money, your senior brother did that, your auntie did that, your elder sister did that. As an example, whatever. A scholarship. You are a worker, you get a salary, federal government, state government, all right, private, work in a bank, you work in an oil company, you work in a telecom company, you work in a marketing, whatever. Just think about wherever your money is coming from for a moment. Think about it just for a few seconds. Now, have you done that? Can you just shut your eyes? Remember what we're doing? We're looking at the source, the physical source of our income and all of that. Oh, yeah, woman. You're married, your husband gives you money, whatever it is. Now, I want you to say, look at that thing in your mind's eyes. Are you getting my point? Look at that source and say, you are not God. Look at your company and say, you are not God. Look at your employer and say, you are not God. In your mind, just look at those places and say, you are not God. You are an instrument. You are just an instrument. You are an instrument. See, you are an instrument. You are an instrument. You are not God. Look at your certificate that took you there. Say, you are not God. You are an instrument. Thank God for the life of those who give money to you, but they are not God. Thank God for your company. It pays very well. Your boss is very generous. He pays well. Look at it in your mind and say, sir, you are not God. Ma, you are not God. Federal government, you are not God. Enugu state government, you are not God. Do that in your mind. And now take up your eyes to the Lord in your heart and say, Lord, you are God. You are the supplier. Now begin to call him that name. Let me hear your voice. Say, Lord, you are the supplier. You are the supplier. You are the provider. Thank you for my food. Thank you for my money. Thank you for everything. You are the supplier. Thank you. Thank you. I magnify you as God. I magnify you as a supplier. Yes, we give you your proper name. We will not take your name and place on a vain thing. You. Say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. We magnify you. You are God. You alone are God. You alone are God. You alone are God. You are the one that makes, that gives me the power to get wealth. You are the one that makes all grace abound towards me. Thank you for all sufficiency. We magnify you in the midst of everything. You are to be magnified. You are to be magnified. You are to be magnified. In the name of Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for today. Let's just say thank you to him. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your liberating word. Thank you for your liberating truth. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. As usual, we share the grace in a very powerful way. It's prophetic. We have magnified the name of the Lord and speaking. Things have ears. I hope you understand that. Every material thing has ears. It's not only animals and human beings. They have ears. This wood has ears. All right? Your car has ears. Your body has ears. I mean, even your ear has ears. In case it's not hearing, you tell it to hear. It will hear and begin to hear. Are you getting my point? Yes, everything has ears. And so we learn to put the word of God on our... It's not our desires. We don't prophesy our desires. We prophesy what he has spoken. And that is where the power lies. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. Out of darkness into the life of Christ. We are passed out of under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus.
Share with somebody. Bless the person.